We'll begin this evening. I'll be looking at a number of verses tonight looking here to begin in Ephesians chapter number 5. I mentioned at the close of the service this morning that the title of the message is Thank You, Lord. And we have much to be thankful for. And as you're turning to Ephesians 5, I will just share with you the words of that familiar hymn. And Kimberly played it this morning for our invitation. Thank You, Lord. It's number 217 in our hymnals. The songwriter says this: Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet. But I would praise Him for His grace. In prayer I would repeat. Some thank Him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know He's mine. I trust in Him from day to day. I prove His saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to Him until I see His face. Now just think about the song, the words of the song. Sometimes we sing the songs and maybe we don't really let the words sink in. But I think about these last words of this third verse when the songwriter said, I'll sing this song of praise to Him until I see His face. See, that's the reality. For every child of God, that we praise Him here upon this earth, but one day we'll take our final breath here and we will enter into His presence and we'll see Him face to face. Isn't that amazing? And then, of course, the chorus, Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. And what a great hymn. And I remember, even before I got saved, I didn't understand all that I was singing, of course, in that particular song at the time. But I remember being in a teen Sunday school class at that Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, that I mentioned this morning, where my parents were both saved and discipled. And I mentioned about the influence of our spiritual leader there, Pastor Rodney Padot. And I remember the teen class singing that song, Thank You, Lord. And again, I didn't understand all of it. I had not been saved at that particular time in my life. But what a blessing to now sing that song, understanding the fullness of what the songwriter had in mind and being mindful of our salvation. This evening, we would understand, I mentioned even a little bit this morning, that the Bible addresses the subject of praise regularly. In fact, I believe that even as the young people this evening demonstrate it for us, many of us in the room have memorized a verse or more that deal with the subject of giving thanks. And we know that the Bible is full of verses of Scripture that deal with the importance of praising and thanking our God, and many of us over the years have memorized such verses. It is absolutely imperative as a child of God that we regularly engage in worship and praise of our God. And we find that, of course, in the society in which we live, and really it's just because it's a part of the human nature, it's easy for us to complain and murmur. It's easy for us to live under the circumstances, if you will. And we find that one of the characteristics that Paul gives with regard to the last days in which we're living is that people are going to be unthankful. And certainly we have seen that. We've experienced that. We live in the midst of a generation that seems as if they believe that they're owed something. And that particular perspective, unfortunately, does not often result in a measure of gratitude, rather a measure of I deserve this. It's what I'm supposed to receive. And we understand this evening, even as we've had the opportunity to sing these great hymns, that God saved us and He changed our lives. We sing that song, Oh Happy Day. I hope you remember the day in which your eternal destination was changed in a moment, and how He did for you what you could not do for yourself, what no one else could do for you. He saved your soul, and what a blessing. And we develop that attitude of gratitude, and I know that's something that you'll hear often, a little cliche type of a phrase, if you will, but how important it is for the children of God. I believe this evening that it is important also that we guard against developing that attitude of expecting things. that we just feel like we have this right to have these things and we just expect them, because what happens is that begins to result in a lack of gratitude. As the people of God, I mentioned this morning about the New Testament admonition that has been given, and I'll read for you Ephesians 5 and verse number 20, where the Bible says this, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's interesting that in the beginning of this chapter, if you go back to verse number 1, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." But notice the end of verse number 4, "but rather giving of thanks." And in those few verses, of course, dealing with some of the things with regard to our speech and some of those things that would be spoken. And he says that we're to give thanks. And we notice in verse number 20 that it says, "giving thanks always for all things." And that's pretty conclusive, is it not? I mean, there's not much wiggle room. And sometimes we try to, maybe in our lives, we try to examine certain things, and maybe we try to find that loophole, if you will. We try to find that wiggle room. Well, Ephesians 5 and verse number 20 just really doesn't give us any wiggle room. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it reminds me, of course, of the New Testament truth that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 18, a similar truth that is given, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, if the Word of God tells us that something is the will of God for us, we ought to pay attention to that, amen? I mean, we ought to give heed to that. We ought to say, "Oh, okay, this is something I need to be engaged in, something I need to practice, something I need to do." As we look at the Word of God this evening and deal with this subject matter, I want you to first consider with me the principle of praise, the principle of praise. We understand this evening that even as we look at these two verses of Scripture in Ephesians 5:20 and in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that there is a biblical principle that would teach us that we're to praise God, that we're to give thanks unto His name. And notice with me back in the Psalms, if you will, and I'm going to reference a number of verses of Scripture from the Psalms this evening. And the first one that I want to mention here as we think about this principle is in Psalm 96 and verse number 8, where the Bible says this, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." And it says, "Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." And I think about this, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." And it is appropriate for us to praise the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 147 in verse number 1, notice the verbiage that is used here with regard to praising the Lord. In Psalm 147, and again, a number of the psalms begin with the introduction of "Praise ye the Lord." In fact, you'll find maybe even on the page of your Bible, for Psalm 147, in my Bible, I have Psalm 146, 147, 148, and 149, and all four of these psalms begin with "Praise ye the Lord." And notice, however, what it says here in Psalm 147 in verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord," notice, "for it is good to sing praises unto our God." It is good. Now, we read over in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 18 that we're to give thanks and that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, right? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now we see here that the psalmist tells us that it is good to sing praises unto our God, "for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." It's beautiful. We think about this verse, and we think about the psalmist sharing with us this principle and this reality for us as the people of God to be engaged in praising our Lord. I don't believe this evening that it is necessary for me to belabor the point on dealing with a principle that is such a well-known principle. In fact, I believe this evening that it would be safe for me to say that each of us understand the principle of praising the Lord, the biblical principle that is set forth in His Word that we are to be engaged in praising. So then let me deal with this. We see that there's a principle, but now I notice that we need to purpose to praise the Lord. See, when I understand the principle, then it will lead me to having in my mind, in my life, a purpose, a resolve to praise the Lord. Because I understand the principle. I understand that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I understand that it's good, that it's pleasant, that it's comely. And therefore, I am going to purpose to praise the Lord. I want you to listen to what the psalmist says. It's so many verses, I actually just printed them out so that I didn't turn to all of them. So if you want the printout, I can provide you a copy of it. But let me just read quickly for you a number of verses of Scripture in which the psalmist shares with us his resolve to praise the Lord, where he purposes that he will praise the Lord. And we notice the heart attitude of the psalmist when he makes these declarative statements that I will praise the Lord. Notice what it says in Psalm 7 in verse number 17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. In Psalm 9, in verse number 1, the psalmist says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I see the psalmist in Psalm 9, in verse number 1, when he says that he's going to praise the Lord with my whole heart, not half-hearted, but with my whole heart. I mean, with a level of, we see here the passion, perhaps, that we would speak about with him passionately praising the Lord with my whole heart, not half-hearted. Psalm 35 in verse number 18, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. See, I like what the psalmist says there in Psalm 35 and verse number 18, because when we praise the Lord in the midst of many people, it has the opportunity to exalt and magnify our Savior, and certainly gives us a position in which we can testify of what He, our God, has done for us. I understand in the midst of many people, it may not be the most popular thing to sing praise unto our God, but it's the appropriate thing. The psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 52 and verse number 9, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. I think about this truth of I will praise thee forever, and certainly we can have the days of our lives that are numbered here upon this earth that I intend to praise the Lord all the days of my life, but the reality is that for all of eternity we will praise Him. He's worthy. And we will praise Him. We looked this morning at Revelation 5 and verse number 9 and looked at that scene in heaven. Psalm 54 and verse number 6, I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 56 and verse number 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He says in Psalm 57 and verse number 9, I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. Again, we see, as we mentioned earlier in Psalm 35 and verse number 18, now we see in Psalm 57 and verse number 9, this idea of praising God among the people. You know, it's important that we praise God privately. But you know, it's impactful that we praise Him publicly. That when we're in the midst of other people, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I often say, especially as we have opportunity to give testimonies and on our prayer, praise, and pie service that we have annually, and we give those in attendance an opportunity to give a testimony, and I say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the reality is that as you testify of God's working in your life, not only does it exalt the Lord in the midst of the congregation, but it also helps other believers. It encourages the brethren to hear how God is working on your behalf and what God is doing, and we're exalting the Lord. Yes, we ought to do it privately. I mean, every day of our lives, we ought to privately be engaged in praising and exalting our Lord. But when He gives us those opportunities to exalt Him and to praise Him publicly, we ought to do it in the opportunities that are accompanied by us doing so will abound. Psalm 69 in verse number 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 86 and verse number 12, the psalmist says, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Once again, we see this idea of my whole heart. Here he says, with all my heart. In Psalm 9 and verse number 1, he said, with my whole heart. Again, that wholehearted, passionate praising of our God. You know, the reality is that there are people that we see in our society that do things with passion. There are people that cheer their teams. I understand that many of the arenas today are not as packed as they have been in the past because of the impact of COVID and so on and so forth. But prior to COVID, you could see how that there are people that have passion about cheering on athletes and cheering for goals and scores and so on and so forth. I remember being in England, and I remember having conversation, and a church service in England is a little bit different than a church service here. And they're a little bit more reserved, if I could say. And I remember as I was there sitting in the church service and going through kind of some of the process in which they go through, I thought, man, if I was preaching, these people wouldn't know what hit them, you know? And I don't know what Spurgeon dealt with. He seemed to be kind of a fireball, but the reality is that just kind of more quiet, reserved, if you will. I began to inquire, and someone told me this, well, you know, the people just aren't that passionate. I said, have you ever watched them watch football? We call it soccer. But there's some passionate fans about a little ball being kicked back and forth for 90 minutes with a final score sometimes of 1-0. I mean, they get all kinds of crazy passionate about it, right? Right, Armando? You listen to the Spanish channel when they score a goal and the guy has to take some breaths in between yelling, goal, right? I mean, they get passionate about it. They shake the stands and everything. But what I'm saying is that, listen, it's okay for us to show a little passion about praising the Lord with my whole heart. Remember what He's done for you. Remember what He's done and how He's worked. And we see the psalmist making the statement about my whole heart. Psalm 108, verse number 3, I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. And I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. Psalm 109 in verse number 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. Psalm 111 in verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. And then it says this, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 118 in verse number 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Psalm 118 and verse 21. Psalm 118 and verse 28, Thou art my God, I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. Psalm 119 and verse number 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Psalm 138 and verse number 1, I will praise Thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. Psalm 139 and verse 14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. In Psalm 145 and verse number 2, notice what the psalmist says, every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. I know that's a lot of verses of Scripture. Some of you guys are trying to keep up, and so I went a little faster and just kind of messed with them a little bit. You know, I heard the pages turning. And the reality is that I wanted to read all of those verses for us to understand how the psalmist purposed to praise the Lord. He said, I will. Here's what I'm purposing to do. And when we begin to think about the principle of praising God, the biblical principle that we as the children of God, that we are to give thanks always, that we are to give thanks for all things, that it should lead to us purposing, resolving that I'm going to praise Him. I'm making a decision. I'm making this decision. I will say, in the same manner in which the psalmist said, I will declare that I will praise Him. Now, here's something that I find interesting. It is possible this evening for me to understand a principle and for me to purpose or plan to do something and then not actually do it. Right? It's possible. Let me illustrate it this way. I hope it's understood. I think it will be. I understand the principle of exercise. I do. I understand how it works. I understand what you do. I understand it. There are times in which I purpose to do it. And with all of my understanding and with all of my purposing, sometimes I just don't do it. Right? I know it'd be good for me to go to the gym. I know it'd be good for me to work out. I know it'd be good for me to exercise. I understand the benefits and so on and so forth. But just because I understand something and just because I plan to do it doesn't mean it actually gets done. Can you relate? Maybe not with exercise, but maybe something else. It just so happens that you plan to maybe exercise or to eat right, and then you get a nice big chocolate cake. I had a piece of that on Friday night. It was good too, man. I saw that thing, Armando, and I thought, that's for me tonight. And it was good. But you understand what I mean, right? This evening, however, when we think about this subject of praising the Lord, when we think about thanking the Lord, it ought not be something that gets neglected. It ought not be something that I understand the principle and I purpose to do it, but it just never seems to happen. It needs to be regular in our lives. It needs to be something that we practice regularly. And if you're taking notes, that simply is the third thought this evening, is to practice praising the Lord. I mean, just make it a routine in your life. Just make it, you know, a part of your being that you just praise God. I shared with somebody this morning after the service, we were talking in the back, and I shared with someone this morning how that in my own personal prayer time, I go through a whole host of things each morning in which I just thank God for. And I mean, I just thank Him for His attributes, I thank Him for who He is, and I just go through in my mind this list of things, and it's not like a ritualistic kind of thing, it really helps me. Because all of a sudden, what's happening in my life, and you know, you're thinking about all the things that we're going to face on a particular day and all of the uncertainties that the day holds, but I begin by praising God for who He is and for the things that He's done and for all of these wonderful blessings that He's bestowed upon me, and it helps me to get in that right frame of mind. It helps me to have a perspective that is appropriate, that will enable me to deal with the unforeseen things of the day that I don't know about, but God knows about. It really gets me in that right frame of mind. It helps me to have that practice in my life. And I don't want to make it sound this evening that it's just some kind of ritual routine thing, just a mundane exercise, but that we understand that we're praising the God of the universe who holds all power, who knows all things, and we have the privilege of entering into His presence and exalting and praising His name because of who He is and because of the things that He's done. And in my life, I want to practice that. I don't think I do it as well as I should. I don't think I've arrived. I'm not suggesting that in any way, shape, or form, but the reality is that in our lives, we need to praise the Lord. We need to practice praising God. Go back to Exodus 15, if you will. I want to look at two examples in the Old Testament here of some rejoicing. Exodus 15, we're familiar with the passage of Scripture, no doubt, in Exodus 14, as we have the privilege of reading about the great miracle when God demonstrated His power and allowed the children of Israel to cross over the Red Sea on dry ground, and how that the Egyptians are saying to do so, how that God caused them to, He troubled them, the host of the Egyptians. Of course, the Bible tells us about their chariot wheels coming off, and they drave heavily, and they were consumed in the midst of the Red Sea, and how God had given them victory. And you find in chapter number 15 of the book of Exodus, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Notice in verse number 7, and in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. In verse number 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Notice what verse 11 says. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Now, you look at these verses of Scripture. You find in verse number 18, the Bible says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Verse number 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. I mean, you begin to read about the Song of Moses as many times we'd refer to this passage of being, and you begin to see how they're praising God. I mean, it's exciting to read through, and I didn't read the entirety of the passage, but you begin to see and get into the mind, if you will, just for a moment, of what these people had just experienced. And not only there with the crossing of the Red Sea, but when you look at the entirety of what had happened in the previous months of their lives with the plagues and all of those things, and how God was demonstrating His power, and He was going forth and showing them His plan. And for many years they had suffered in great affliction and turmoil, and they were dealing with great adversity, and now they've seen the hand of God, and they have experienced the power of God firsthand. I mean, can you imagine being at the Red Sea? I mean, can you imagine being there and experiencing that? These are the same people that had just experienced the plagues, where Moses would leave the presence of Pharaoh, understanding on a number of times in which Pharaoh pled for deliverance and for a reprieve. And Moses said, I'll leave and I'm going to hold up my hands and God's going to take it away. And God did. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, even the counselors of the Pharaoh said, this is the finger of God. I can't imagine seeing this. I mean, just as much as I try to put my mind there and try to see the demonstration of God's power and to see how we would respond in praising God and practicing praise. But can I tell you, it's interesting when you read Exodus chapter number 15 and you see how that after such great deliverance, Moses and the people of Israel sing praise unto the Lord, and they, as they are praising God and thanking God, they're mentioning how that He's triumphed gloriously. They've mentioned how that the Lord is their strength and song, and they go through all of these things of praising God, and then in just a little while, they come to a place where there's no water, and what happens? Are they still praising God? No. What are they doing? They're complaining. Are they not? The people murmured in verse number 24 against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, why do I point this out this evening? I want to focus on verses 1 through 21, the importance of praising God, the practice of praise. But the reason why I point out the latter part of Exodus 15 is because in your life, in my life, I can practice praise this morning, and then something, some curveball, if you will, some circumstance comes in my life that I didn't expect, and all of a sudden, well, I was just praising God, and now I'm complaining because I'm a human being. So are you. I said, what's going on here? What do we need to do? We need to get back to the place where we're praising God. We need to be able to identify in our lives those times we begin to murmur. I mean, have you been able to? Have you practiced in your life that act of discipline of being able to catch yourself when you're complaining or murmuring about something? And say, you know, what am I complaining about? I mean, God's been so good, and God's done this, and He's done that. It reminds me of a story. I shared part of this morning with someone at the back door as well, but we're very familiar with Corrie ten Boom, and we understand the German concentration camps and all of the things, and they spent some time in one of the worst of those German concentration camps during the Second World War, and they found themselves in prison, Corrie ten Boom and her sister, Betsy. And they were disgusted to discover that the barracks in which they were put, they were infested with fleas. Now, that's not certainly a desirable situation. I don't know if you've ever had an experience with fleas. I remember being at a relative's house a number of years ago, probably 25-ish years ago, and they had some animals, and one of the animals got some fleas, and I remember sitting there trying to watch a game with, it was actually my uncle, and I was trying to watch a game with my uncle, and man, those fleas were biting my feet, man. It was annoying. And those things, you just look down and they're crawling on you and whatever, and nothing compared to what they had experienced, but I said, this is annoying. What's up with this, right? Why don't you deal with this? Well, it was the initial response of Corrie ten Boom to complain. And I kind of understand why she might complain. But Betsy, her sister, insisted that instead of complaining, they give thanks. You know what she quoted? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I think that perhaps it would require, and even as the account says, it required some persuasion on the part of Betsy to persuade Corrie to thank God in this situation. And I can understand that. I can identify with Corrie and saying, you want me to give thanks in this situation? I'm thankful for the sister that said, in everything, give thanks. And we find that the account goes on to tell us this, that several months later, after they'd been in there, the two sisters expressed their surprise. They began to notice something about some of their circumstances that had been taking place, and they said this, that the camp guards did not return to their barracks and did not disrupt or prevent them from having Bible studies with the other prisoners. And here's what they concluded. They concluded, and Corrie realized, the account goes on to say, that the very fleas with which she had so despised had actually been a God-sent protection from those cruel guards. We read it now, we say, man, that's a good story. But what about when the fleas come in your life or my life? It might not be actual fleas, but you understand what I'm saying. God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I borrowed my dad's truck a number of years ago. I think it was when you had one of your shoulders operated on, and he wasn't going to be able to drive for a while. My mom doesn't like driving the truck, and so I borrowed it, and I had it here, and I think he still lived in Pennsylvania at the time, and I borrowed the truck, and I got a flat tire in the truck. And that's just kind of an inconvenience, right? You say, man, I don't have time for a flat tire. And I had a meeting, I had somebody I was supposed to go meet and visit with and what have you, and so I took that spare off, and I took the tire off, I put the spare on, threw the tire in the bed of the truck, and on my way I went. And took care of the things I had to take care of, had the meeting, so on and so forth, came back to church, and a few hours had passed, and someone came by, and I was chatting with them, and they left, and then they called me and said, hey, I just noticed that you had a flat tire on the truck. I said, whoa, tell me this again? A flat tire? They said, yes, it's flat. And they told me which tire. Now, one flat tire is a problem, but two is a real situation. You only have one spare, and you need four tires to be able to drive. And so I was really in a kind of a situation. I called Ed and said, Ed, you got an air compressor? You got something I can use? He said, yeah. And I was able to get an air compressor. We got the tire pumped up so that I can get to the place to be able to get the tire taken care of. I had not thought about the need to patch the original one immediately because I got a spare and then got a flat there. It was very interesting because my natural response to that situation was really to complain. I'll be transparent with you this evening. Why? Like, I don't have time for this. Have you ever been there where you say, I don't have time for this? I mean, this is not what I expected to happen today. But you know, I sat in a place to get those tires patched and had the privilege of being able to share the gospel with someone for about an hour. That otherwise, if I didn't have two flat tires that day, I never would have met that person. I just wouldn't have. And you know, during that time when I left that place, the Lord just, in a very gracious way, corrected my perspective. He really did. He said, what about in everything? Giving thanks always for all things. And you know, God can work in mysterious ways. And He does. And oftentimes in my life, and perhaps you can understand this, it's easy for us to see after the fact what God was doing. You understand what I mean? But in the very midst of it, we're too sideways with whatever's going on to be able to really take a step back and say, I wonder what God's doing here and how God is working here and what God's plan is for this. Let me thank God for this situation right now and ask Him to use me for His honor and for His glory. That's not normally my response to a problem. But what I'm saying to you this evening is that we need to practice praising God in all things. I need to. And we look at these situations and say, our God is worthy of our praise. You know what God was doing at the end of Exodus 15? He was proving to His people that He was still able to take care of just water, of the everyday thing. Listen, God did not lead them out of Egypt so that they would die of thirst. He was able, and He was proving them. And He proved them there at the waters. And we find that this was the very first trial that they faced after deliverance. Turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, if you will. Let's look at one other example of this importance of practicing praise. And we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the record is given here to us of that in which David is praising the Lord. He's the king of Israel at the time. And he had had in his heart to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. And if you look through the passage of Scripture and you look at the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles, you'll find some things that happen and how they did not do the work of God and the way in which God told them to do. In fact, back in chapter 13, you read about Uzzah and the death and so on and so forth. And you look through the passage and you begin to see how that in chapter 15, they got things corrected. They got things understood. They went back and they found the proper way of transporting the ark and all that they were to do. And by the way, God had given that instruction to Moses at the time in which they built the ark and all of the pieces of furniture for the tabernacle. There were plain instructions that were provided as to who was to transport and how they were to transport. And they did not do that back in chapter 13. And therefore, Uzzah was killed. We find that the ark is now brought back to Jerusalem in chapter 15. And the Bible tells us in verse number 1 of chapter 16, notice what it says. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. We can read, skip down if you will. Notice in verse number 7, it says this, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Notice what it says in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. It says, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. If you skip down, look at verse 25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we'd mentioned from Psalm 96 this same truth that we find in verse number 29. In verse 34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name, and glory in Thy praise. As I look here at the praise in 1 Chronicles 16, and there are other portions that we could look at and to see how the people of God praised the Lord, but I see how that they were practicing praising God. I see how that David had prioritized and purposed to praise. As you read through the Psalms and read a number of those I will praise the Lord verses that I read to you just a few moments ago, you'll find that many of them, the Psalms, are ascribed to David, and he had purposed that he was going to praise the Lord with his whole heart. And we find here in 1 Chronicles 16 that when on this momentous occasion, when the ark was brought back to Jerusalem, what do? They praise the Lord. They were thanking God for the provision, for all that had taken place and all that had transpired. And they're exalting the Lord and they're giving glory unto His name. And I find this evening, as I think about this truth of thank you, Lord, and the reality that we are to give thanks always for all things, and that we are to be engaged in the worship of our God, exalting Him and thanking Him, there are many reasons for us to rejoice. I mean, honestly, it shouldn't take us long to come up with something to be thankful for. I haven't seen it done in years, but I believe it was at Grace Baptist Church the last time I saw it in Jacksonville, North Carolina, where they would have, I don't know how often they did it, I don't remember, popcorn testimonies. Do you remember that, Dad? And here's how it would work. You remember, Mom? This is how it worked. Michael would stand up and he'd give a testimony, and then he'd say, "All right, Brother Armando." And Brother Armando would stand up and give a testimony. And Brother Armando would say, "Okay, Sister Faith." And Faith would stand up and give a testimony. And Faith would say, "Okay, Sister Mimi." And it's just popcorn testimonies. That's what they did. It was good. I wasn't even saved, and it was good. But you know, there were some people, here's what they do. "I hope they don't call me." "Oh, buddy, I hope they don't call me." And you know what you do when you don't want somebody to call you? You look down. Is it not true? I mean, seriously, you look down, because if I don't see you, you can't see me. I mean, it's kind of a thought that we have, right? So you want to know how my brain works? I can give you a little insight tonight. You know who I look for if we're doing something like that? The person with their head down. And you say, "You're cruel." I know, but that's what I do. But the reality is that that's a good thing. And we ought to be able to, right? I mean, as saved people, we ought to this evening. I don't care if you don't like talking in front of people. I understand one of the number one fears of adults is public speaking. I understand that. But honestly, this evening, as the children of God, we ought to be able to go person by person and not miss anybody, and everybody ought to be able to praise God for something. Amen. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Don't get scared. But I'm just saying we ought to be able to. Because our God is worthy, and He's done so much for us. And if we get into that mindset, if we not only understand a principle and we purpose to do it, but we begin practicing it, and it just becomes our normal behavior, again, not in some kind of a religious kind of just, we're just going through the motions. I'm not saying it that way, but I'm saying that we're so full of gratitude that it just flows out of us that we're praising our God. And it's genuine. It's not something that's just rehearsed and recited and memorized. It's not something that we just kind of, "Well, I have to, and so I'm going to." No, it's from a genuine heart of gratitude. And we practice it. And when we practice it, here's what I think happens. See, here's, to use my illustration from a few moments ago, of exercise, okay? There are times in my life, as I look back at my life, when I was in high school playing sports and very involved in athletics and what have you, I had such a commitment to working out and exercising that it seemed like no matter what happened on my schedule, I still found a way to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I try to look for reasons not to do it. I'm just being honest. Like, I mean, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that. And, you know, and it's easy when you're 40 and you say things hurt after, you know, if you don't exercise for a few weeks and then you go and exercise and then you hurt and then you don't exercise, it's just not desirable. But when I think about practicing praise, here's what I think it does for us. When I get into that regular behavior, that regular practice of praising God, then when things come in my life that at face value, at first glance, seem to be, what is this about? I'm in that practice of praising God. And I'm able to say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm going to thank you because I know you have a plan. I know you have a purpose. I know that in this, you are working for my good and for your glory. And would you help me to have a proper attitude and a proper perspective? See, but if I'm not practicing praise, when that thing comes in my life that's kind of a challenge and a difficulty, it's real easy for me to murmur and complain. It's real easy for me to just go into the old nature. Here's how we work. Here's what we do. Here's what the human nature is. And so this evening, thank you, Lord. Oh, we have so much to thank Him for. So much to thank Him for. We understand the principle. I hope tonight we would purpose to praise Him and that we would practice praising Him. Every day in our lives, just practice praising the Lord. Just do it. Just get engaged daily, privately, publicly, at home. Listen, let me share testimony with me, or with you, with your wife, with your children, with your whoever. Let me share what God's doing. You begin to practice and have that discipline in your life. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that you are God. We thank you this evening for the example of those that have gone before us. We thank you, God, for the principles and regular reminders that you give us in your word. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to understand the principle, help us to purpose to praise you, and help us to practice praise. Lord, help us to just regularly praise your name. You've been so good to us, God. You've blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You've given us your word that reveals to us your character and who you are and your plan for the ages. We agree with the psalmist when he says that you daily loadeth us with benefits. We think about the song even that the children sang this evening and some of the things in which we are to be grateful for, to be thankful for. God, help us not only privately but also publicly to practice praising you. I pray that you would challenge us, help us, have your will and way in these few moments of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with